Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to All About Entrepreneurs. Well, we're excited that you decided to tune in to the show today. Heard every weekday morning at 7 a.m. Eastern Standard Time. Well, we want you to sit back, get that pen and pencil out, get ready to take lots of notes, get ready to go to another level in your life. Because it's all about entrepreneurs. We have exciting guests who will come and teach you the strategies, the tips, and the tools for you to be a successful entrepreneur. Well, we hope that you enjoy the show. And don't forget, invite a friend. The show is going to be awesome. And now, your host, Coach Lalisa J. Williams.
Good morning, good morning, good morning, and welcome, welcome, welcome to the broadcast this morning. What if we could just wake up with our businesses and suddenly go global? Well, that's absurd, right? You can't just wake up with your business and go global, no more than you can just wake up and find that you have millions or more dollars in your bank. So, what does it take to go global? What is it that you need to do to get your business assessed to see if you even need to go global? Remember what we said. Just because everyone's going global doesn't mean you have to go global, right? It's just like our parents used to tell us, well, if all the other kids are going to jump off the roof, are you going to jump off the roof too? So maybe, maybe not. I don't know. It depends on what's over on the other side of that roof. So what does it take to take a business global? So we're going to just discuss that a little bit this morning. We just want to raise the concept and raise the awareness for small businesses. Now, I know here on All About Entrepreneurs, we are attached to hundreds of small businesses, if not thousands. And as a matter of fact, I should have had one of my global contacts contact us today on the show. I'm on the broadcast. He possibly may be on the show listening. I'm not able to sign into my computer just yet, so I can't see who all is on. But if Paul Kiriazi from Japan is on, and certainly we have talked about our products. He's talked about his products there. Many people have come on the broadcast and spoken with him about his services that he provides and vice versa. And he's purchased books from me. So basically, you can go global in an instant. If you got a customer, hello. Somebody, we're in business, and we are in business to provide a product or service. And while in business, there is a market that either needs our product or our service. If not, then we would not be in business. If there's no market for your product and service, there's no need to be in business unless that market is not here in the United States, right? There's the story of the salespersons that were told that if they should go over to some country and I think it was India, some faraway place, two salespeople from the very same company, similar background, similar educational level, similar sales results, and they were both sent to a place, it was a shoe company, and they sent their salespeople over there, they said, to see the need for shoes, that they should come in over there and expand their shoe market. So both salespeople took, you know, similar flights, had similar food on the flight, and they get over there, you know, it's a long flight, a good 15 hours or so, and one salesman gets over there and looks around and runs and picks up the phone and calls back to headquarters and to report back to his senior vice president of sales and says, no, don't ship any shoes. You know, we would never sell them here. Nobody's wearing shoes. The second salesperson gets the phone, calls back to headquarters to the senior vice president and goes, ship all you can. Ship as many shoes as you can. There's a great opportunity here to sell shoes. Well, what was the difference between the two salespeople? They both had similar flights and everything. Well, what it looks like is that the one salesperson's perspective, you know, it's all about perspective. It's all about how you see things. One salesperson saw that there was absolutely no opportunity. He was looking at the fact that no one had on shoes, so why would we change that? You know, why would we suggest that they get shoes since they're not wearing shoes? The other salesperson is saying, look, this is a great opportunity. This is a great market over here to get shoes on these people's feet. So I ask you, what's your perspective? When you see great opportunity, when you look at the global marketplace, when you consider the fact that there are close to 7 billion people in the world, and there's 95% of consumers are close to 95% are not in the U.S. They're outside of this country. So you can look at it like, wow, that's a great opportunity for my business. Maybe you're not getting very much business here in the U.S. Maybe the market that you're in or trying to get in is very saturated. So how can you expand to a greater market? That should be something that should be on the minds of all entrepreneurs these days, because it's a reality. It's one thing when it's a pipe dream or it's just something that a great idea that someone has, but it's a whole other thing when it's a reality. Okay? So consider the global marketplace, but you can't just jump up possibly and get in the global marketplace. Even for myself, you know, I've sold books to people in other countries, but you know, it didn't happen overnight. I had been doing what I was doing for a very long time. But getting through any type of difficult time is what we're having right now, and there is an opportunity. There's some trends that say that there is an opportunity for small businesses to go global. But prior to, say, the last 5 years or so, it was a little unthinkable for very small businesses to go global. Sure, all the larger and multinational corporations, they're already global. Big businesses, they pretty much start out global once you get big. Most big businesses started out small, though. Started out small right here in one city, one state, and they expanded. That's how they got big. That's how you grow. But those are some of the topics that we, workshops and trainings that we do for our women leaders and entrepreneurs and our Women Leaders and Entrepreneurs International Association. That's where the type of training that we will give to people who join that organization or those individuals who want to consult with us. We will sit down with you, do a SWOT analysis on your business, and show you the different documents and paperwork and the different connections that you need in order to go global, because you're talking about dealing with different cultures. You talk about trying to, you have to understand the culture of where you want to go. I remember when even the major corporate companies have to do it. I remember the time I was with Continental Airlines and we were looking to fly to, that's when we opened up the flights to Japan. And that was back in 19, our first flight, that was back in 1990, I believe it was 98 or 99, when we launched the Japan flights. Non-stop, can you believe it? Non-stop from the Newark International Airport to Japan. It was awesome. It was an awesome opportunity to work for the company at that time. I tell you, God just has a way of putting me in stuff, because here I was, you know, a little girl from the ghettos of Cincinnati, blah, 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 and I end up, come on now, somebody's going to get that, talk about going global. I end up in New Jersey working for Continental Airlines right at the time when they added two brand new international flights. One to Japan and one to, the other one was to Israel, I believe. I want to say Israel. But I'll come back to that one in a minute. But, yeah, Israel. And that's what that was too. That was major, because they'd never flown to these places nonstop. And and I was a recruiter. So I had to go out with my team, with the team that I was working with, and find people to work those flights. So with the first one with Japan, we had to find, they wanted us to find a couple hundred ticket agents. And that could work at the Newark Airport, something like that. It was a large number. And because it wasn't just the Newark Airport, there were other airports that were going to be needed at the ticket counters. So we had to learn a little bit of the culture before we could even talk to Japanese people to find out what their needs were, what they wanted. But it was a lot of fun. I learned a lot. But, yeah, going global has become, and I know some people who work for the airline, and they've flown over there a few times. Same thing when we went to start flying to Israel. But that was all exciting. But you have to know, you know what I mean. You know what I mean? No, you don't know what I mean. So that's what I'm telling you. Well, there's a lot of business in overseas. You know, the U.S., we only have, 385 million people. But there's 7 billion people in the world, right? So if you wanted to go global, we wouldn't blame you. You know, nobody could blame you. Like I said, there's 95% of the world's consumers, 95% of them live outside of the U.S. That right there should be enough. You should be hanging up right now and getting on the phone with your accountant, your business manager, your team of people, and say, let's talk about this. So even so, but don't do that. You can stay and listen to the whole show, but Even so, that's happening, 95%, you know, again, how do you do it? How do you break into the global marketplace so that you are effective? It's not that you can just go jump up and, you know, set up a plant in China. China has, about 3 billion people? Close to half the world's population? So if 95% of the consumers are outside of the U.S., it's probably a good 70% of them, probably 60% or so, right there inside of China, right there in China. So, got to get ready, but you got to know what types of things. I want to give you 5 questions to think about. before going global? So it's five questions to think about before going global. The first question is, do you qualify for an opportunity to go global? So put your business again. Here's an opportunity for your business. But what are some of the threats? Right? Are your people able to handle? What are some of your... This would be a great time to do that SWOT analysis to see if your company has the weaknesses, but what are your strengths, what are your opportunities, and what are your threats. But this is certainly an opportunity, but is it a good time for you to see if your company can go, you know, what are your back office operations? You know, what about the competition in the other countries? You know, we know what the competition in the U.S. is like, right? It's fierce. Sometimes it can be dirty. Sometimes it can be underhanded. So you got to know competition. And we'll talk about the different types of competition on another show. We'll talk about competition, but competition is real. I know as Christians, we don't like to talk about that, but it's because we know God's going to make a way. Well, yes, he is, but he's put you amongst a competitive environment, you know. Even in the wild, animals compete for food. In the home, children compete for mommy's love, right, for daddy's love. We remember Joseph. His brothers were in competition with him, and they tried to kill the boy. So there's competition all over. In the church, sister so-and-so wants to compete with sister so-and-so because you're closer to the pastor. It's all about getting close to the pastor. I know this is a sidebar. We're talking about global, but you know me. I'm going to go side anyway. But listen, people in the church, listen. Give up trying to get close to the pastor, okay? Most of the pastors are married anyway. They don't really need you all that close to them. What you should be trying to get close to Jesus, because he's still the way maker. And getting close to Jesus, he will give you everything you desire. Remember Matthew 6:33? Seek ye first the kingdom, and all these things will be added to you. He didn't say seek first the pastor. Okay, so that was my little sidebar, but I digress. And let's go global, okay? So there's competition is what I was saying. And that's the one question that you want to know is, the first question is, are we qualified for this opportunity? And so that you want to see if your business has the capabilities to handle all of the paperwork and all of the logistics that it would take to run your business, just to even do the marketing over there. Can your business handle any efforts that it would cost you to do that? And again, what's your competition like over there? Now, here's the other thing, too. If everybody goes global, then that will leave a little bit of a pocket over here in the U.S. So you might lay back and wait. Let everybody go global, and then you can take up some of the business right here that will be left behind if everyone's trying to run to the global marketplace. The other thing that you want to look at are the risk and the potential reward. Is it worth it? Remember, entrepreneurs, what are we? We are people who take a chance and with our finances and with our skills and our talents, put it out there on something that we're not sure how it's going to turn out. So just imagine going global. You're taking your business's talents and skills and strengths and everything and saying, I'm going to put it out there in the global marketplace. What are the risks? What if we lose everything? But what if we gain everything? So you got to consider those things, right? Can't just say, okay, we're going global, and this is how we're going to do it. I'm giving you five questions to think about before you do it so that you don't get out there and then find out that this is not, you know, it's not working out. It's not working out. It may be harder to recuperate than if you were trying to expand here in the U.S. Because you got to think about what are the you know, what are the repercussions? What if you go global and you get so many orders you can't fill them, you can't fill them fast enough? So I know what that's like. I've had one customer's order that I couldn't fill fast enough. So imagine hundreds. So you got to make sure you have the critical paths all planned out and thought. So it takes a lot of planning, meaning you'll probably have to hire a planning team, some consultants who have done this, who have had great success at doing it. The next thing you want to know, but again, if it's a great opportunity for your team, do it. Take it and let's go. The other thing is, should we build up or should we team up, okay? Should you build it yourself or should you just team up with someone over there? And find a company that does what you do in a country that you would like to go global with. Probably China somewhere because, again, those 35 million people, right? Not 35 million, but 3 billion, 3 billion. So, yeah, you know, find out, so do I need to team up with these people or not? Or do I need to build something right here and then try to expand over there? That's your choice. So that's something you want to think about, something you want to consider, some type of small venture, some type of venture that you would come together, some joint venture agreement, some type of affiliation that you might align yourself with a company that's already there, already established, already have, you know, certain customs and paperwork and logistics already in place. Or do you team up with a company here that's already, for instance, my husband his company is a foreign country, right? His company is a foreign-based company. So that's an opportunity for me to have a discussion with the leaders of that organization. And so maybe you know someone as well who works for a foreign country, a foreign company in a foreign country. So it's just a tongue twister, foreign country, company, country. But yes, and so you can do business like that. I remember when I was with a company called Artist International, and they were selling the Body Magic, which was their signature garment at the time. That was 4 or 5 years ago. And I remember when they launched and went global selling our products. We were already selling our products to people who live in the U.S. that was taking them home. So over to different places, London, Africa, what have you. So going global with your business. So it's the same thing. You still have to do all of the business research and market research that you have to do here. You just have to think there. It's going to be a different culture. Different people speak different languages. The way we do things here and not the way they do things there. So you may want to make sure all these things are well thought out and what are the risks, what are the repercussions, making sure that you definitely do your analytics and do your analysis and find out what else could be happening. And question number 4 is, what about hiring people? What about, do you need to recruit new people even right here on your team to help you with that, manufacturing-wise? You never know. Maybe the people that you work here with or don't have the mindset for global business. And then, you know, number five, ask yourself, you know, did you check the news? Okay, it says that the decision to enter a market is tricky enough, but with some of the world's most attractive markets, in a constant state of economic, political, and cultural flux and unrest, careful business owners might be sure that they enter the markets when the timing is right, all right? And while timing things perfectly may not be possible, but, you know, business owners, you know how we do it. We try to make calculated risk. Yeah, we take risks, but they're not just any kind of risk. They're calculated risks, so you want to calculate and evaluate and develop a plan to move on based on some of the things that you see in the news. And so that means that you are watching foreign news affairs and keeping up with foreign news affairs. And so before you pack your bags and jump off, you know, you want to look and see what's going on in the marketplace. But that's our talk on today, going global. Should you do it? Keep these five questions in mind. Look at, is it a great, is it quality? Just like we qualify leads for our businesses here, every lead is not necessarily a qualified lead, is not necessarily the right lead. So the global opportunity, we have to qualify it first. And then we want to know, is it worth the rewards, the risk? There is a reward, yes, we know that, but is the risk worth it? What am I risking? You're risking your time, your money, your effort. Business, all entrepreneurs risk that, every single one. Yes, you risk your time, your effort, your money, but for a reward. When you become an entrepreneur versus working for some, when you work for someone else, you don't risk your time, effort, and money. You go to work and get paid for your time and your effort. But when you're in business, you put in the same amount of time or more than a person who's working on a 9-to-5 job, but you don't know if there's going to be a reward at the end of 2 weeks, at the end of 30 days, or 1 week for that matter. So going global is the same concept. You're making a risk, but you don't know what the reward is. And then you have to consider whether you want to build it or team up with someone else. Just like companies that decide if they want to, they make a decision whether they want to outsource or they want to keep it in-house. So basically that's what we're saying here. Do you need to build it here and expand, or do you need to team up with someone who's already global? You sign some type of partnering agreement. But again, people, let me tell you, people in other countries are way more astute and sometimes more corrupt. And I know in the U.S. can be corrupt as enough as it is. You don't want to be dealing with some any and everybody, and they're a long way for you to go chase them down if the business goes bad. So you can't just be teaming up with anybody because it sounds good. That's why I'm doing this show, because I know there's a lot of talk about going global. And, you know, it's just like the wolf out there with Little Red Riding Hood. There could be someone just waiting around to take your little basket, right, on the way to Grandma's house. You know, you're on the way to Global's house and get your little basket taken, you know. So you got to be careful. And sometimes, you know, when things are new, it's the best time to jump on them so you can get ahead of the market, ahead of your competition. But in other times, it makes more sense to lay back, let other people experience it, listen to their lessons, listen to their stories, learn from it, and do better. So again, these are all the concepts that you want to think about before going global. You definitely want to go to the Small Business Administration, because they've been doing this for years, helping companies go global. So great place to start in having those conversations. And definitely we'll have someone this year at our Women Leaders and Entrepreneurs event from the Small Business Administration. So number four, don't forget, that was number four. And then lastly, did you check the news? Did you check the news? These are the questions you want to ask yourself. Do you know what's going on in these various countries, politically, legally, socially? You want to know what's happening there. Talk to people like McDonald's and them. They know what happened when they went global and decided to try to sell, you know, like a hamburger in India. Come on, they don't eat beef. So you got to know what's happening in these global places. In some global places, there's still a lot of issues with women. You can't just go over there with all your great, wonderful family values and see that, especially America, come on. Some of the stuff that we do, too, as well. Children disrespecting parents, that's unheard of in most countries. It's unheard of. They don't do that there. Children being so adult-like and being able to do whatever they want, you can't do that in other countries. You'll catch a beat down for real. It might even kill you. So And we know there's a lot of social differences around the country, so do your research. And, you know, we'll have some more topics and more discussions. I will be bringing on some people who, I have people at both colleges that deal with this. This is their specialty. This is what they do. And they help people launch their businesses globally. So I'll bring them on. So we'll post it on Facebook when that happens. And there's a page on Facebook for All About Entrepreneurs where I'll be trying to keep up with posting all the stuff. I hope you all, some people like, you know, she didn't do this yet, she didn't do that yet. I hope you understand the concept of the solopreneur, the person who is pretty much running their entire business alone, okay? So I do all the marketing, the advertising, I build my own flyers, I build all my websites that you see, all my pages, every single one, I build them and I manage them. So I don't have, there's no one. I remember when we were running for office, the candidate would say, there's no one behind the curtain. I don't have a Wizard of Oz that does all that stuff. I don't have people that I can call up and say, all right, do this, that. Yeah, well, I call myself up. I dial myself up if I want my web page to have a new look. So all the web pages that I have, every single one, I had to put them together. Yes, it's a turnkey type of site, but they don't give you the content. You have to come up with that on your own. And all the other things that you see that I do, I'll just about every flyer that I have, whether it's a book cover, a flyer, it doesn't matter, I have to create it. So if I don't get back to you right away, understand that, you know, I am busy, and I teach 4 classes this semester, 5 classes last semester, in addition to the 4 continuing ed courses that I teach. So that's a lot, right? But don't feel sorry for me, because I put all these things on my plate, because they are all attached to what I love doing, what I enjoy doing. And never mind the seminars and the workshops and the conferences, like the one coming up in May, the Writers Conference. I hope you're coming. The first weekend and the first Saturday in May, it's a Christian Writers and Publishers Conference coming to Newark, New Jersey. Then there's the Women's Leaders and Entrepreneurs Summit, the 3rd annual. I'm so excited, number 3. That's coming up. We also have this year in the fall, we'll do the Release Your Power Conference this fall, somewhere probably close to my birthday, which is around that first weekend in November. We'll do the Women of Power Conference. And so we have the whole calendar pretty much mapped out. We'll do our Women's Day down in Virginia Beach. So for all of you who can come to Virginia Beach in September, and I'll give you more information and detail on that, but I hope that you can come to Virginia Beach in September, and we're going to do a women's retreat down there, a 2-day women's retreat in Virginia Beach. So look forward to that, and I look forward to seeing you on the beach in Virginia Beach. So that's what we have going on. We have a lot going on. So definitely look for Global, but also make sure that you go to our Women Leaders and Entrepreneurs International Association. Become a member so you can get some privileged information and other things that we share with you. So definitely do that. You can get all that off of the Internet, or you can go to my website, CoachLalisa.com, or release-your-power.com. Either way, send me a contact note that you want to join, or you can go to the website, womenleadersandentrepreneurs.com, womenleadersandentrepreneurs.com, and it's not just for women. So men, you can go there as well. I know we have some men who are involved with us, who attend our conferences and workshops, and we're glad to have you, and welcome aboard. And like I said, we're on Facebook. We have event page set up on Facebook. If you would like to be invited to the event and see who all else is coming, You can certainly do that. You can certainly network with those people who are there. We ask you to, we invite you to, we encourage you to. But that's all we have time for today. So I'm going to invite you to tomorrow. So come back tomorrow. Tomorrow is Friday. Yay! The final day of the work week for most of us. We have the weekend off. I happen to have the weekend off. So yes, I do. I teach. But I teach mainly, a lot of people don't know this, but I am a motivational speaker. I know you couldn't tell at all, right? So I am a speaker, right? But I'm also a trainer. So a lot of people didn't know that. That's by profession. That's what my PhD is in, training. Training and performance improvement at Capella University. I know a lot of people hear me talk about being a trainer. And, you didn't know. It could be I'm a trainer from AT&T or one of those big companies from years gone by. Yes, I did do some training at Continental Airlines for 2.5 years, and then I was a trainer at Kentuck. I was a training coordinator there for close to 3 years. But that's my profession, is training, human resources and training and performance improvement, because that's usually why people train, right? Because you want your employees' performance improved in some way. And if it can be improved through training, then you prescribe training. But there may be some other training that's needed in order for a performance to be improved. But I say that to say that me teaching is a part of training. It's my training hat, or it's my workshop hat. So that's the way I look at my class, or my public speaking hat. That's the way I look at my classroom. When we speak in public, we speak on a topic. So when I'm in class, I'm speaking on the topic of the class, business. Either I'm speaking on business, all the components of business 101, organization and management, or I'm speaking on how to be a success in college. So those are the main two areas that I speak on, and that's why I do it. So I know some people are like, wow, you teach. Well, I teach because I'm a trainer, and who better to train than college students? Who better to have for an audience, because they have to sit there, they have to listen, they have to laugh, even though you're not all that funny, but they don't have to, but, they do, so it's pretty fun. And so basically I've been working, doing workshops and training for since 1998. My first class I taught was in 1998. I taught a GED class, and it was pretty fun. It was adults. I was teaching adults. Well, of course, right? I was teaching adults for the adult education program at Essex County College. So that's how I got started in the teaching field, was teaching GED classes, and I did that for about 3 years. At a high school, at the Netley High School, out there on Franklin Street or something like that. And then I went from there to the college courses on the college campus for incoming students. And then I just, once I got, my degree, once you get an MBA or any degree, you can teach. It depends on the schools and depends on your background. There are people teaching that don't have a degree. I know that. But that's because they have 20 years of business experience or 30 years of engineering. Well, some degrees, some courses you teach, you have to have a degree, but it depends on the department. But if you want to teach a business course or you want to teach a lot of those courses, you have to have a degree, unless you know somebody. Of course, if you know somebody, all bets are off. You can do almost, if you know somebody, you can do almost anything in the world, all right? And all of us know God, right? He gives us favor, and we can get into jobs that we don't have a degree and or experience, sort of like the way I got into the halfway house. I got into Kentuck, and that's how it started. I don't have a degree in psychology or sociology. I don't have an MSW. I don't have a degree in social work, none of that. But I do have I do have an MBA in the School of Hard Knocks. So when you've been out there, you've done it, you've lived it, that sort of gives you a credential.
of sorts, but you got to know how to work it. So learn how to work it, stay virtuous, and we'll see you back here tomorrow. Hope you got something out of going global. Hope you got enough to at least look at those 5 questions and hit me up on Facebook with any other comments, questions. Thank you for joining us, and have a great and wonderful Thursday. If you're going down to Metropolitan Baptist Church to the job fair, there'll be a job fair for those of you who are looking for a job. If you will be down there today between 10 and 2 p.m., I will see you there. Say, hey, Coach Galisa, I listen to you on the radio. All right, take care. God bless.